where it began. I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong.
Alex Rodriguez is drilled, and he says something to Bronson Arroyo. Here we go. Veritek and A-Rod going at it.
Sweet Caroline, good times never seem so good.
Welcome to Pinstripes and Red Sox. Matt McGee sitting alongside Timus Wooten. Timus, how are you?
Doing great, Mac. Good to be back. Missed the show and had some good baseball here in the last month.
Yeah, we got a lot to cover in a little bit of a time. If y'all haven't listened to Pinstripes and Red Sox, we try to get you caught up in about 15 minutes and get you ready for your weekend. We are starting to release these on Saturday mornings now, so set your calendar. Saturday mornings, we're going to get you caught up to date with Yankees and Red Sox, basically go over what went down Friday nights and what to look forward to on the Saturday-Sunday tilts. So away we go. Last night, looks like that the Yankees took care of business against Tampa, 5-0. No shock there as the Rays. The Rays actually haven't been that bad. I think if the Rays would have made a couple moves in the offseason, Tampa could have been right there fighting for a wild card. Boston loses a heartbreaker 7-6 at Seattle. No shame in that, though. Seattle is playing incredibly well. Winners of 7 of their last 10. And should be a great series the rest of the way. Real quick, let's go over to the Yankees series and let's dive into the meat and bones of the Seattle-Boston series, because I think that's the one that everyone really wants to know about this weekend, the much bigger series. Real quick, in the Yankees series, it looks like tonight the Yankees are... Oh, I'm sorry, it's a 1 o'clock tilt, so it's about to start here in a couple hours. Stanek versus Severino. Good luck with that there, Stanek. Severino's going to take that one to the house. Severino, you know, the funny thing about him, as dominant as he is in playing for the New York Yankees, I still think he's a little underrated. I don't think when you talk about the great pitchers of Major League Baseball, I don't think he's one of the first ones that jumps to anyone's mind, but man, the numbers are there.
The numbers are more than there, but I think like
9-2, 2.27 ERA. He's got a .96 whip. I mean, he's 109 strikeouts and just 91 innings pitched.
Yeah, he's on a Cy Young pace for sure.
And oh, by the way, only 24 years old.
Yeah, Tanaka being on that with all the hype with Tanaka and the name and all that, I think he does kind of get buried a little bit. Did you see the Yanks Rays game yesterday with that kid they brought up from AA? He pitched 5 shutout innings for the Yankees straight from AA.
I did not catch the actual game itself. I was watching highlights and had to work.
Yeah. That's not bad. You step into Yankee Stadium and, you know, your first major league, and the kid's, 12 years old? And, I mean, that's pretty impressive. That's not an easy job, you know. It's not an easy place to pitch, whether you're the home team or not, you know, because those fans... If you mess up, they let you hear about it.
Yeah, 23 years old, 5 innings pitched, no earned runs, 6 strikeouts. Of course, it was against Tampa and their anemic offense. But, yeah, that's still a big deal considering the fact that it is Yankee Stadium. I don't even know how to pronounce that kid's name.
I wouldn't have really...
I'm looking at his name, man, and I'm debating on whether or not making a run at how to pronounce his last name, but that's a tough one right there.
Yeah.
L-O-A-I-S-I-G-A. I'm going to guess it's Losiga, or Losija. And I'm probably wrong. It's probably pronounced Smith. But that's a pretty impressive debut regardless.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have really noticed much if it would have been at the Trop. But the fact it was Yankee Stadium, I mean, yeah, it was the Tampa Rays, no doubt. But still, though, that's still major league hitters. You're still in Yankee Stadium, you know. And there was a big crowd there. I saw the highlights. There's a huge crowd there. And for him to go in, I mean, it's a pretty impressive debut. You got to tip your cap to that kid. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce his name. I'll just let you have it.
In all likelihood, it's a spot start, is what they're saying, is what I'm reading right now. He could be sent right back down to AAA. But regardless, I mean, that's a nice little feather to put in your cap to get started. The injuries with the Yankees and their pitching staff, let's talk about that for a second and then jump on to the Red Sox. I think it's a foregone conclusion that Severino gets the W today going up
Stanton. Unless he clearly just doesn't have it today. I mean, even if he pitches poorly,
he's CC Sabathia takes the mound tomorrow. And I think you're probably looking at a 3-game sweep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
And then the Yankees turn around. They played the Nationals earlier than the week. They turn around and they go to Washington National Park on Monday. A 5:05 tilt. The way it's put there, I'm not 100% sure if that may not be a doubleheader. Just
it seems like that too, because didn't they have a rainout? I'm pretty sure. It seems like
they might have. I honestly don't remember, but the red flag that jumps up at me is the fact that it's a 5:05 starting time in Washington. That's not very typical on a Monday game. So I'm thinking they're probably trying to pull off a doubleheader. Or it could just be a game that they're both playing on their day off. Let me see if they play each other the next day. They do not. So maybe they're just trying to squeeze that game in early so that the Yankees can get back to their park and the Nationals can get ready for a series against the Orioles.
And, I mean, I'll say this for the Yankees. Boy, they've had some trouble as far as weather games. I mean, their schedule has been crazy. Because they've been rained out and all this other stuff, and you know ESPN had to change their Sunday night game because they were scheduled to play 3 games in 24 hours last week. That's insane. You can't do that. I mean, even to the Yankees. And ESPN did the right thing. They, you know, rearranged the schedule so they only had to play 2 games in 24 hours. But they've had a rough go schedule wise. I'll say that for them. I don't mind, but I mean, I will say that for them.
Well, looking ahead, they get the Nationals, and then it looks like that the Yankees are at home for a 3-game tilt against the Mariners. The Mariners, of course, right now are hosting the Boston Red Sox. We are looking at a division that is now at a standstill tie. Atop the division, the Yankees and Red Sox are tied for first. With that being said, the Yankees do have a 3-game lead in the loss column as they are 45-20, and the Red Sox are 48-23. So the Red Sox have played 6 more ball games than the Yankees. So slight edge going to the Yankees. Of course, it's a long summer. Boston last night loses a heartbreaker. 7-6. Why don't you take us through that real quick, and then we'll jump into the other matchups.
Yeah. Seattle's best pitcher. Well, I mean, he was dealing. He was dealing. He was throwing a no hitter into the third. We really weren't even making strong contact. He struck out the side a couple of times, I think. And then, you know, we were pop flying here and there. And then the defense for the Mariners, which, you know, they're a pretty good team. They went to sleep, apparently, because they called it four errors in one inning, but then they changed it because, and I agree, because J.D. Martinez hit a rocket to right field. And the right fielder took off and it went off the top of his glove, but he had to run a good 25, 30 feet to even get close to it, and it went off the top of his glove. And they called it an error for like two innings, but then they changed it. But in that inning, they still had three legit other errors, and the Sox scored six times. And then Porcello had a rough first inning. He gave up three in the first two. And then whenever you get runs for Porcello, if he gets a lead, he's almost unhittable. And that was true last night. He came out and mowed down the next 10 and then had a rough inning, and they had the bases loaded. He gave up a run. It was 6-4 then. And then he got out of it, only gave up one run with the bases loaded, and then got us into the seventh. And our bullpen, which has been outstanding for the past two or three weeks, I mean, they've just been light out. It wasn't Matt Barnes' night last night. He gave up the runs, and so we went into the ninth 7-6 Mariners, and they
The stat line looks like this. Paxton goes just 2 1/3 innings with 5 earned runs, gets rocked. Bradford comes in, finishes out the third inning. Then Whalen kept them in the ball game with 4 innings pitched.
Yeah.
No earned runs.
Yeah, he came in and shut us down.
Essentially what happened is that after Paxton came out and didn't have his best stuff, the rest of the bullpen stepped up. They went 7 2/3 innings and did not give up a run. So the last run scored by the Red Sox was in that third inning. And then it's basically the tale of two bullpens, because what happens then is Porcello gives up a few runs here and there. Then Embry comes in and gives up a run in the eighth, and Barnes gives up two in the ninth. And there you go. Red Sox Yankees are now tied atop the standings. And like I said, the Yankees do have a slight edge because they've played six lesser games. They have a 3-game lead in the loss column, which is always big. It's what you always really look at. And they will face Tampa the next couple of days, advantage Yankees. Boston is going to face the Seattle Mariners. Excuse me. The Seattle Mariners the next couple of days. And they will be, see, tonight, I believe it's an 8:15 Eastern tilt, because I believe the game is on Fox. So even if you do not live in the Boston area and you don't have the package, you should be able to see it tonight. And they... Sorry, I went back on the...
Yeah, we got an 8:15 tonight. Then we play them. It's the fourth
series
going on right now.
Sorry,
then we go to Minnesota.
I was on the wrong part of the calendar. Mariners, this is a good one. I hope to be off work by then or some close to this. This is a good one. Wright takes the mound, the knuckleballer, and LeBlanc takes it for the Mariners. Both of them 2-0. It should be a good ball game.
Yeah, Wright's gone like 23 innings without giving up a run, a knuckleballer. It's awesome. I was at that game in Boston last week when he pitched that two-hitter. And, I mean, usually when a knuckleballer pitches, you know, the games are a little longer or whatever. That game was 2 hours and 40 minutes. It was, I mean, he just mowed people down. And the thing is, we have a four-game series with the Mariners now, then we go to Minnesota, but then the Mariners come to Boston. We play the Mariners again next weekend. So all games that we're playing against the Mariners are within 11 days.
The game tomorrow has a lot of intrigue as well. It's Erod, who is 8-1, pitched really well this year. And he's going to play against Mike Leake, who's actually pitched pretty well this year. He's not dominant. He's never going to give you that you don't expect Mike Leake to go out and pitch seven scoreless innings, but you expect him to go out and give you a chance at a quality start, six innings, 2-3 runs, and give you a chance to win. He's 7-3 on the season. That's a 4-10 Eastern start. That should be a really good ball game.
Yeah, and the Mariners went in going into this series because they were saying that they were looking forward to this series the most because this was kind of their report card, because a lot of the fans there are still wait and see because they've been bad for so long. You know, they're not drawing the way they were hoping. Even though they're playing well, the fans are kind of wait and see. But now, I mean, there was 44,000 people there last night. So they were waiting on the Red Sox to see the Red Sox are
Here's the thing. Teams. When Seattle wins, Seattle does support. And that's all their teams. When Seattle is winning, you never have to worry about if the Seahawks are sold out or the Mariners are sold out. They're going to support their team. Of course, it adds a little oomph when you get the Red Sox in. I'm sure there's a lot of people, a lot of transplants up in the Northwest area that don't get a chance to see the Red Sox very often. So that adds to it. I'm sure when the Yankees come into town, that adds to it. But regardless, when the Mariners are winning, the Mariners usually have a pretty good home field advantage.
It's loud, for sure. It's loud there. It was really loud last night.
So long story short, they're winding up this, and then they go and take on the Twins at the early part of next week while the Yankees are taking on the Mariners. When we talk next week, where do you see the division sitting?
I can't.
I honestly think the Yankees might have a one-game lead.
I think it might
just
be
because they get to play Tampa for two. They get to play Tampa for two. They could run into a bumpy road going up against the Nationals for one, and then a couple of three games against the Mariners. But at the same token, I think Minnesota's playing a little better. So I kind of suspect Boston's going to lose at least one of those games in that series. So I think the Yankees might have a division lead by the time we talk next week.
I think all season it's going to be they're up by a game, we're up by a game. They're up by – it's been that way all year. That's kind of the way we predicted it at the beginning of the season, and the Yankees are really good. And the
I'm
Red
still
Sox
holding to my preseason prediction, Boston wins the division.
I hope you're right.
I think the Yankees pitching staff is not solid enough to win a 162-game season against the Boston Red Sox. Sure, they might make a move in the offseason. I mean, sure, they might make a move at the trading deadline, but I suspect that the Red Sox will too. So I don't know if that's going to be advantage Yankees or not, unless they make a really big move, but I don't really foresee that happening.
Yeah, we're going to have to get a bullpen arm because we lost Carson Smith for the year. And
there will be plenty of them. I think last year at the trading deadline, 32 relief pitchers were shuffled around. So there will be relievers available. I'm talking about game changers, and a game changer would be a solid starting pitcher for the Yankees. But there really aren't that many on the trading block. So I think they're a little pigeonholed on what they're able to do. You don't have usually there's one or two really big names that are up for grabs on the trading block. This year it's more of the batters that are hitting free agency. The only major name that could hit free agency in the offseason as far as pitchers is Clayton Kershaw, but that's not him being a free agent. That's him opting out of a deal. So no way the Dodgers trade him. So there's not a big name frontline starting pitcher that is on the trading block this year.
Well, speaking of hitters, let's talk about the fact that the Sox designated Hanley Ramirez for assignment, and he's still not signed.
I don't think he will be. I mean, I don't think anybody. I think Hanley's done. I really do.
Really? I disagree. I don't think he's done. When I was in Boston,
I don't think anybody is going to pick up that contract.
They don't have to. We're paying him.
I get that, but I don't think anyone's picking that contract up. First of all, he's notorious as a terrible clubhouse person. He's terrible defensively.
Terrible. He plays a good first base.
He's pretty bad. And here's
not at first base. He did a very good job at first base.
He does not have the range that you want a first baseman to have.
He used to.
I give you, he used to. Because heck, he used to play shortstop. But he's put on some LBs.
Right. I know that, but I'm saying when he plays first base for us, I never had any complaints about him. He doesn't make errors. He does a very good job over there. And I'm stunned nobody's picked him up, honestly. I mean, we were stunned that they designated him for assignment because it was Cora's decision.
Well, okay, here's the deal. He's notorious. Notorious being a bad clubhouse person. Who wants to pick that up? I wouldn't want to add that to my team. But then, here's the other thing. Look at the major teams that are in the hunt that would actually make a move for him. Now, I'm not talking about something obscure where the Marlins decide that they want to bring him back home, for a retirement parade. I'm talking about someone who's in the mix of the playoffs that would need Hanley Ramirez. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that he could start for. Because he's darn sure not going to start in Atlanta. He's not going to start in Washington. So those are scrapped.
Yeah, he's not going to start for the Cubs.
He's not going to start in Philadelphia. That's Carlos Santana. Even though he's been playing terribly this year, he's still Carlos Santana. They signed him to, $26 million a year. They're not doing that. The Mets could probably use him the most, but I don't think the Mets are going to take him on because the Mets are... I know they're not mathematically eliminated, but the Mets are terrible. And they've fallen off the map. So then, okay, you got the Cubs. That's not happening. Cardinals.
No.
The Cardinal way is not signing a mental patient, It doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah.
They care more about how you're going to fit into the clubhouse than they do about your batting average, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Milwaukee with the step up of Aguilar, who can play first and outfield, there's no way he's coming into that situation. Okay, so forget about it. It's not going to happen in Pittsburgh just because that's not their MO and the Reds are out of it. And not to mention they have some guy named Joey Votto. So then you go over into the National League West, and you could, in theory, talk about him in Colorado, and I don't think that would be a terrible fit. But you still have Ian Desmond that plays first base. So unless you're going to slide Ian Desmond to the outfield, and Colorado's fallen off so bad, I just don't see it happening. So then your other options are either A, he comes home to the Dodgers, but the Dodgers are not hurting for first base hitting at all with the emergence of Max Muncy. He's darn sure not going out to Arizona and starting over Paul Goldschmidt. That ain't happening. So then you go to the AL. Could he possibly help Seattle?
I mean, you're saying you're not shocked that a team in contention not picking him up.
They don't need him. They don't need him. He wasn't hitting that great.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. But what I'm saying is,
his defense is not that. If his defense was that great, they never would have signed Mitch Moreland, because Mitch Moreland was coming in there as a defensive specialist because of Hanley Ramirez's. He's not terrible at first base, but he's not a shutdown first baseman. So in later innings, you're going to put him on the bench because you don't want him in there, with his lack of range. So then, okay.
Plus, Mitch is hitting.
Finishing it off, Seattle could be a landing spot. I think Seattle and Colorado probably are the most logical ones. But Seattle's playing really well, and why do you want to rock that boat? He's not starting over Albert Pujols in...
Nope. Not in his 3,000 season, for sure.
Yeah, he's not starting over Pujols ever. Okay. He's darn sure not starting for the Houston Astros, so the NL West is over, right? So then you go to the NL Central. He's not going to get the starting nod over Encarnacion. Maybe Minnesota could make a move because they did just DFA, or I'm sorry, they didn't DFA. They sent Sano down to a single A because he's got the case of the Pablo Sandovals. He can't hit, and he's like 60 pounds overweight. Aren't we all, though? There's a reason why the Pablo Sandovals and Miguel Sanos resonate with the common man. But anyways, that's it. Like, that's pretty much the laundry list of who is in contention that they could make a move. I only see Colorado and possibly Seattle, but I don't see Seattle doing it. Colorado's kind of fallen way off the map in the NL West.
Well, let me ask you this. Play this scenario in your head before you answer. Because of the season, the horrible, horrible season Davis is having, he's not hitting his weight. What do you think about him at Baltimore?
But Baltimore has won 19 games. They're terrible. They're not going to make a move.
That's what I'm saying, though. I'm not saying there's. I understand why a contention team hasn't picked, but I'm a little shocked that no team has picked him up.
Because someone like Baltimore is not going to take on a Hanley Ramirez when their season is over. You're just not going to do it, because in about a month or so, you're going to start bringing up kids from the minors to see what they can do. And you'd rather do that than to deal with the Hanley Ramirez thing. So I think Hanley Ramirez is going to have a. I think he's going to find a hard landing place. Now we might see it closer around the trading deadline when people start trying to make moves to add to their bench, and if they can't find anything, someone might take a chance on putting him on the bench. But that's it. He'd be like a pinch hitter, and.
I mean, they're going to get him for nothing. So, I mean, they're not going to be overpaying him as a pinch hitter. We're going to be overpaying him.
Okay, for instance, as a Braves fan, I wouldn't want him on our team. There's no part of Hanley Ramirez that I would want on our team. Because if you put him on the team, you're taking one of our other bats that we use coming off the bench. And I don't want to lose a Charlie Culberson. I don't want to lose a Flaherty. I don't want to lose Preston. Those guys have more versatility because they can play the outfield too. And they're just as likely to get a base hit coming off the bench as Hanley Ramirez is nowadays. So that's kind of where I'm at. I don't think he's a viable solution. Someone might take him down the stretch, a Marlins, to try to put a few butts in the seats, but I don't think he's got that kind of pull. And honestly, it wouldn't shock me if he went the rest of the year not playing anywhere. Someone might add him at the very end of the trading deadline to say, you know what, let's see what he's got. Come off the bench. Maybe he can light a spark. But the two teams that I see most likely to do that would be Seattle, because first of all, their GM is infamous for making a bunch of trades and moves, period. And then Colorado, but Colorado would have to stay in it. And they ain't looking like they're staying in it. That being said, someone hasn't had a huge injury at first base yet. If that happens, all bets are off. Any last words? We got about 30, 45 seconds.
Nope. I love Mookie Betts and JD Martinez. That's my last word. I love them very much.
All right, and I'm excited to watch Severino deal today. Next week, we'll be back. We'll be talking more about the Red Sox and Yankees. And here's hoping that the U.S. Open gets a little more competitive and Dustin Johnson doesn't run away with it.
Lord have mercy.
Go Ricky Fowler, baby. We'll see you next week.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it.
York, New York.
Boone hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series. Boone, a hero in Game 7.
I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues.